Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Aren't you thankful?
Yes.
That you're blessed with every spiritual blessing. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons to himself through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. And here's the first time we see the phrase, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he graciously bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Christ which are in heaven and earth. Talking about the body of Christ, those of us that are still here and those of us that have gone ahead. Verse 11, in him also we have received an inheritance. Aren't you glad you have an inheritance? That you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Amen? Something still to look forward to. And something to draw on even here. In him we also have received an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his own will, that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, should live, here's that line again, for the praise of his glory. In him, you also, after hearing the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and after believing in him, were sealed with the promise of Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, and here we see it a third time, to the praise of his glory. And I said last week as I was reading this before last Sunday, ready to start ministering on Ephesians, it just struck me that Paul would use that phrase three times in less than 12 verses. And that phrase just kind of started rolling through me, to the praise of his glory. What does that mean, to the praise of his glory, to the praise of his glory? And so I broke it down with the Strong's. I broke every word down. And I said, if we were to read it would be for the praise of his glory, it would say, the would be, I am or I exist for or to or into a place or a time or a purpose. The praise, to give approval and laudation of his or to him or to he, the Father, for his glory, for his dignity, for his honor, to worship him as showing very apparently. And I said it this way, if you kind of break that down, the way we could say that to the praise of his glory is, I exist to purpose praise and approval, laudations to he the Father because of his dignity, his honor, and his very apparent showing. His glory. Amen? And I said that several times last week, and I just wanted to say that again as we go on. And I said what we would look at this week is how Dr. Savelle, of all the years that Pastor Irene and I were with him in so many meetings, that when he would talk about the glory of God, he would say the glory of God is his presence, it's his power, and it's his goodness. Amen? And this morning, as I was meditating even, I was reminded there's a weightiness to his glory. Amen? So this morning we're going to look at how this phrase, to the praise of his glory, looks when his glory is his power, his presence, and his goodness. We won't get to the goodness part today, but we're going to look at the first two. Amen? So, if we look at that first line of that, to the praise, it's, and I've been thinking about that and thinking about that and trying to somehow make sense of it where it where it's easy to explain, and I guess the only way I could really do it is when we say to the praise of his glory, it's to the praise, we're directing something to praise. Amen? You get that? Praise is the focus of something we direct to it. And what are we supposed to direct to it? All the things that bring God glory. Amen? We praise him for his glory. We often say, you know, we do praise and we do worship, but they're so combined. Amen? When you start to praise God, you get into worshiping God. We bring praise to him for what he's done. We start lauding him for who he is and because of his glory. Amen? Does that make sense? So I put to the praise, or as we direct praise to him, it's our worship, our honor of him, our attitude as it's directed to the praise of his glory for his goodness, for his power, and for his presence. Amen? And I remember years ago when we were in Dr. Colch's church, he did a message on hell once, or the realities of heaven and hell. I think it was a series. And he talked about the scriptures where Jesus would say, he would say that there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You'll be cast into outer darkness. And that's a picture of there's so much regret and so much emptiness because there's no power or presence of God. Amen? When you when somebody finds themselves in that place after the judgment, the reason there's weeping and gnashing of teeth is because even for the unsaved today, there's a sense of the presence of God just because of who he is. But they're so far removed from that then that there's an emptiness that they've never, ever experienced. There's an alienation from his power. There's an alienation from his presence. Amen? So that's the downside of not being in to the praise of his glory. And we have to share both sides of this. Amen? But the good side, let's look at it first. To the praise of his glory in his power. And then we'll look at the other. So here in Ephesians 3, let's go to chapter 7, verse 3. Ephesians 3, verse 7. Is that how I said it? Ephesians 3, verse 7. This is Paul speaking just after the Ephesians, that prayer, and it says, of this I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. So here we see that Paul's call came because of the power of God. Amen? Should we read it again? Of this I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God. So it was given by grace. We know that Jesus gave gifts to men in Ephesians 4. According to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. So those, our callings are a result of the power of God. Given by grace, through gifts of grace, but it's the power of God that works that in us. Amen? And he goes on to say, to me, very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the incomprehensible riches of Christ and to reveal for all people what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God. And we've talked about those things hidden in God, not hidden from us, hidden for us, even according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Amen? So they're hidden. So this power comes from God. And Paul goes on to say, who created all things through Jesus Christ, so that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places. according to the eternal purpose which it completed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. And it struck me, I wasn't going to read that far, but as I was looking at it in its context, it struck me that Paul says his call is by the power of God, by the gift of grace, but even in here he brings it to not only where he comes, it's coming against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. Amen? That power working in Paul was powerful enough to put the enemy at bay in the same way that Jesus did it. Amen? And it just struck me that in the context of that, it would come out that this power is in a man, but this power is in a man so that it would be revealed, would be made known by the church, it says in verse 10, to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places according to eternal purpose, which was completed in Jesus. And we know, just coming through Resurrection Sunday, what did Jesus complete? He took the keys of death and hell. You know, we've gone over this week after week. He gave us authority and power. Amen? He said, go ye in my name. And now Paul's saying that the very same things that Jesus was doing, I can do. Why? Because that power is working in him. That power is working in you. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Cast out devils. Amen? Why? Not because there's something in us, not because I can do anything of myself, but because he authorized me to do it. And in his name, we go. Amen? Do we go in his name? We do. Amen? Which he completed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith. Aren't you glad you can confidently come to him? Amen? I'll share that story again of when Pastor Irene and I were in Lac La Biche, Alberta, one of the most northern Word of Faith churches in Canada. We'd go there regularly. We're treated amazingly as we would go into that community. And ministering there the one Sunday morning, and during the service, the pastor said somebody in the church had cancer. Would we go into the hospital and pray for them? And we said, yeah, of course, we'd be glad to do that. And so we were going to go for lunch, and then we were going to go to the local hospital. And somebody heard, I don't know how it came out that we were going to the hospital, and somebody in that congregation came to us and said, aren't you afraid to go in there and do that? And I said, are you kidding me? I says, we walk through the front door and the powers of darkness are afraid because they know we're here. That's how it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to be intimidated by it or them. They're supposed to be intimidated, you know, by us. I've said it for a long time. We look at the scripture where Jesus said to Peter, who do you say that I am? Peter said, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, on this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. And we always look like it can't come further to us. No, let's push against those gates and see it go backwards. Amen? That's how it's supposed to be. We come into our communities. I read this week that a father is under the risk of arrest at any time, because he will not call his transsexual daughter by a male name. Well, that's goofy. That's wrong. So what do? Just accept that? No, we push back. Amen? We push back against that kind of thing. Facebook last week. You've got something from a right-wing Christian perspective, they're not going to let you be on there. Our voice is trying to be silenced. But Jesus said this would come. So what do? Give up and put our heads in a hole? No, we push back. Amen? Why? Because his power is in us. Amen? What should I fear? What can man do to me? Nothing. Amen? So it's his power at work in us. Let's go back to chapter 1, verse 19 in the prayer. Let me go back a little bit further. I'm just trying to see where. It's hard to know where to start that. Let's go all the way to 16. It says, I do not cease to giving thanks for you, mentioning you in my prayers, so that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Thank God he's doing that. That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you would know what is the hope of his calling. And when we read his calling, that doesn't mean Jesus' calling, it means his calling for you. The hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance among the saints. Here we go. And what is the surpassing, say surpassing. Surpassing greatness. It's not just enough that it's greatness, it's surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And we go, well, that's awesome. But then he goes on to describe what that mighty power was, which he worked in Christ, which he performed in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him. I just lost my spot here. And seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So there's a greatness of his power working toward us if we believe. So faith has a part in it. Amen. You have to believe that power is working. And we're going to play a song at the end here today. It's been out, what, maybe 6 months. It's a song that just says, you say. It's about us believing what God says about us. Amen? And if you'll put faith in that, that power will work. If you'll believe what God says about you instead of what the enemy's whispering to you about you, or does he only do that to me through the week? Does he only do it to me? You won't succeed. That's how he talks. You think that church will grow? Are you kidding? That church isn't going to grow. That's how he talks. Well, those are the thoughts we have to take captive and start putting, replacing it. What does God say about it? Amen? So there's a greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he performed in Christ when he raised him from the dead. The resurrection matters. Did anybody catch wind of something that was popping up this week out of the Vatican? About some are starting to say the resurrection didn't happen. I tried to find an actual quote of it on my computer. We didn't have hydro. I didn't get to shower this morning, sorry. We had no hydro when we got up, so I said, I got to get to church. I need my computer. And I had my computer work, but I didn't have internet. So, I tried to find it, and what I did find is there was an Anglican, a Church of England appointee to the Vatican who has made comments to that effect. But if there's no resurrection, then this prayer doesn't work. Amen? If the power is according to what he performed in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and there's no resurrection, then we're in trouble. Amen? And I just want to read a few of that. I put here as my main point, the resurrection matters. And believing that the resurrection happened matters. Amen? So look at me, 1 Corinthians 15. We'll look at some scriptures concerning this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. It says, now if Christ is preached that he rose from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? There's nothing new under the sun. If they're saying it today, they said it when Paul walked. Amen? But Paul addresses it. He says, how can some say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain or useless. Yes, and we would then be found false witnesses of God, because we have testified that God raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ has not been risen. Verse 17, if Christ is not raised, your faith is vain, and you are still in your sins. The resurrection matters, people. Then they who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished, and they won't hear well done. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, then we are of all most men miserable. But now is Christ risen? He qualifies it. He says that's not true. This is what's really happened. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Amen? He was the firstborn of many brethren, the Bible says. The first one to become born again. Because he was born again, you and I can become born again. Amen? In the same way that the Holy Ghost raised him to new life, when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're raised to new life. Amen? Changed. You become the righteousness of God because of the resurrection. Because of the power of the resurrection. Amen? Go with me to Colossians 2, 12. General Electric Power Company. Colossians 2, verse 12. Let me go up a little bit. Let's go to verse 9. For in him lives all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Say, I'm complete in him. When he speaks peace over you, nothing missing, nothing broken. Amen? You're complete in him. And you are complete in him who is the head of all authority and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by the putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith of the power of God, who also raised him from the dead. So in the same way that Jesus was raised from the dead by that power, you and I have been raised from the dead by that power. Amen? That's why we're baptized. It's a symbol of that. Amen? It's a symbol of us going down and coming up with him, in him. Romans 8, we all know this verse. I'll just say it. You know, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us and quickens our mortal body. Amen? Brings healing. That same power that raised Jesus brings healing to your body here and now today. Amen? That's why we, to the praise of his glory. We praise him. Why? For his power. If you don't know how to worship and you don't know how to praise, start thinking about these three things. His power, his presence, and his goodness. And just start thanking him and start expressing gratitude for those three things, and you'll be into praise and worship. Amen? Before you know it, you'll be singing new songs. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Sometimes I drive my wife nuts. She just wants quiet as she's in the car with me, and I can't help it. It's just bubbling out. And I try to do it quiet, but it won't stop. And I don't want it to stop. We sleep in separate rooms sometimes because she wants peace and I want to worship. Why? Because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead works in me, quickens my mortal body. Amen? I'm going to finish with this morning, and then we'll have communion. And I'm going to just give you some scriptures. And some of them I thought were pretty awesome. I'll just flip open my computer. I'm not too techy, so bear with me. I'm not like one of these guys that can do it with their tablet. And their phone, I can't even read what's on yet, so forget that completely. Oh, just... Well, and I had just eye surgery, so now I can see far away, but I can't see nothing up close. Used to be I could sit in my desk chair, and it was kind of like I could... I can't do that anymore. Anyway, 2 Chronicles, you can write these scriptures down. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 6. Let me see if I can find it. I don't find that one. Where is it? Oh, I have to read that one. I must have wrote that one down without it being on my computer. So let's go to 2 Chronicles a minute. Second Chronicles 20, verse 6. I just wrote down the references, so I'm not even sure what it's going to say. It says, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms and the nations? In your hand are strength and might, and there is no one who can oppose you. Doesn't use the word power, but it's referencing his power. Amen? Job 20. You know what? That's why I'm in the wrong page. See? Told you I wasn't too techy. Here we go. Now I'll have them in the right order even. Job 26, verse 7. It says, God stretches in the northern sky over empty spaces and hangs the earth on nothing. He wraps the rain in his thick clouds, and the clouds don't burst with the weight. He covers the face of the moon, shrouding it with his clouds. He created the horizons when he separated the waters. He set the boundary between day and night. The foundations of heaven tremble. They shudder at his rebuke. By his power, the sea grew calm. By his skill, he crushed the great sea monster. His spirit made the heavens beautiful, and his power pierced the gliding serpent. These are just the beginning of all that he does, merely a whisper of his power. Who then can comprehend the thunder of his power? Is there anything too hard for our God? No. So we worship him we to the praise of his glory for his power. Amen? To the praise of his glory for his power. Psalm 71, 18. Now that I am old and gray, and I'm not there yet, do not abandon me, O God. Let me proclaim your power to this new generation, your mighty miracles to all those who come after me. Amen? And we can also use that when we talk about his presence. Do not abandon me. That's an implication that his presence is with us. Amen? Psalm 147, 4 and 5. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. There's a lot of stars out there. There's a lot of names out there. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. You know, we pray those Ephesians prayers that we would come to a knowledge and an understanding. But here it says his understanding is beyond measure. I think that's why Paul said, now we know in part. Amen? Because you can't grasp it all. the goodness and the greatness of God. Jeremiah 10. Jeremiah 10, verse 12 and 13. But God made the earth by his power, and he preserves it by his wisdom. With his own understanding, he stretched out the heavens. When he speaks in the thunder, the heavens roar with rain. He causes the clouds to rise over the earth, and he sends the lightning with the rain, and he releases the wind from his storehouses. Romans 1, verse 20. Nobody is without excuse. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. Hebrews 1, verse 3. The sun radiates, the sun as in S-O-N, the sun radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. We see in Hebrews 2 that he upholds all things by the words of his power. Amen? 1 Corinthians 1, 18. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. You want the power of God in your life? Then look at the message of the cross. Amen? And the message of the cross is that your sins were paid for and that he rose. Amen? Romans 15, verse 13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Other translation says joy and peace in believing. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's say that one again, or read that one again. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you believe, or joy and peace in believing. So in your faith, then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of his Holy Spirit. We're not moved by what we see, we're moved by what we believe. Amen? 2 Peter, verse 1, this is the last one. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one called, who called us, it's supposed to be who, it says how, the one who called us to himself by means of his glory, of his marvelous glory and excellence. Amen? And with that, just think about that. Next week we'll talk about his presence and his goodness. And all I'm trying to do is lay a foundation. You know, it struck me so strong that if Paul wrote that three times, it must be important. And in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. And I got thinking about, you know, we need to know how to praise. We need to know how to do this. And if we look at just these three areas, and there's more, it's very easy, you know. It's very easy when you just think of his power and rehearse those scriptures and remind him of what he said. I remember when Pastor Irene and I had our big dog, and we would walk him, you know, especially in the wintertime at 11 o'clock at night or something on a cold, crisp night, and you'd look up and you can't help but say what David said, that the heavens declare your glory. Amen? And if you know that word, then that word comes out of you when you look up at the stars. And it's easy to praise and exalt him for who he is and what he's done. Amen? To the praise of his glory. That's why we're here. I exist. That's how I started today. I exist to bring him, on purpose, praise and glory. It's the very reason I'm put here. The very reason you are put here. Amen? Do you believe that this morning? Are you going to practice it this week? Amen.